Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show. Well, today what we're talking about is something that affects a lot of couples. It's that low sexual desire. And what I mean by that is whether it's a couple or an individual, but there is no sexual desire. And that impacts relationships because many times people feel like they're not connected. And so today what I'm honored to have is two, yes, can you believe it? Two experts here. Paola Rodriguez, which is here in Miami, Florida, and she's the founder of Life Discovery, and she has her license in Florida and Massachusetts. She's a national certified sex therapist, a qualified supervisor. She's got the Gottman training in couples, and she's at the sex therapy through Modern Institute of Sex Therapy. And we have Aisha Bailey here, and she's the founder of a great organization company called Bailey House of Wellness, which is in Jacksonville and in Wilton Manors, Florida. She's also a licensed mental health, a board certified sex therapist. She's also a board certified transgender care therapist. She's trained in sex therapy, transgender care. She's also working on her PhD, and she's a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. She has a production company and a sex toy line coming out in 2020.
Yes. Nice.
Yes. Yes. So welcome, ladies,
Thank
to the
you.
Show.
Thank you.
Yes. So can you tell our audience a little bit about each of your journey into this field of working with couples from the sexual aspect?
Do you want me to start first?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so I started my journey, I believe, when I was very young.
Okay.
Sex was something that was talked about very open and honestly in my family, mainly my dad. He was raised primarily by women. So it was something that we weren't ashamed about. And it was really odd, you know, interacting with my peers and learning that
yeah.
this wasn't something that was normal in most households.
Right.
So I embarked on a journey. I knew I wanted to do something like in the medical field, but I started off with OBGYN and felt that wasn't something for me. It didn't feel right to me. And through research, connecting with others, I learned about a school in Miami, Florida. Now it's called the Training Certification Institute. It used to be called the Sex Therapy Training Institute,
okay.
Where I got my certification in sex therapy, and the rest is history.
Wow, yeah. Awesome. Yes. And what about you?
So for me, Dr. Ron, it's been, you know, curiosity was really what got me here. I've done therapy for a very long time, but in the sex therapy field, you know, I was working along a mentor, and he was going through his certification, and he asked me to kind of take on some cases. I was a little ambivalent because I didn't really know a lot about it. But when I started working along with him with clients, new clients and already clients that I was seeing, it was like opening this new box.
Mm.
I felt like it was Christmas all over again because it's such a gift to be able to dig deeper and really enter into the sexual world. It has to do so much with who we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so as you ladies know, this show is about intimacy.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And I love to hear people's definitions about intimacy. How do you, each of you, define it?
So for me, intimacy, I think the first word that comes to mind is closeness, right?
Okay.
It's having this really sacred space between you and I and really feeling that you can be who you
yes.
want without any judgment, without any shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elliot Kronefeld, who was one of my mentors, he defines intimacy as a perfect combination between safety and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
So I love
yes.
that, right?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think it really kind of sums up the meaning of what intimacy really means.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And I think intimacy is connection.
Yes.
And intimacy
right.
does not just mean romantic partners. It can be
right.
between parents and children. It can be between peers. It can be between siblings and mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. So I think the connection part and the vulnerability
Absolutely.
Is a big aspect of it.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And in some couples today, they're lacking that intimacy.
Yes.
You know? And I know today what we're talking about is that low or lack of sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you guys, what does that look like?
Desire is clearly just defined as one ability to pursue or want something.
Okay.
Right? I actually pursue that desire. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people suffer for a lack of sexual
mm-hmm.
desire. It can be medical.
Right.
It can be psychological. It can be a combination of both. And I think within couples, there is this notion that there has to be a script of what my desire is versus your desire. So okay. If I have a quote unquote high desire, then that must mean you have a low desire. And that doesn't mean that that's always true.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Anything desire, you know, if I could add to your definition, you know, desire is also about the imagination. One of the things that we often see is that our couples that have been together for a long time, you know, how do you desire something that you already know?
Yes.
Right? So I think that idea of desire, but I also feel that when people come in, we have to help them figure out, because I often feel that people come in and they're like, I have low libido. Is it about libido or is it about desire?
Yes.
Right. So I think it's really important to understand really what's going on, because there's almost, and I wonder for some people, is it that I don't want to have sex at all? Or is it that I don't want to have the sex that's being offered to me in this relationship?
Exactly.
Definitely. Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you guys for that definition. And we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to get into the meat and bones of low sexual desire. Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. So Aisha, the last time you were talking about this lack of desire, and you said it comes from, could be medical, physical, psychological. Can you guys explain more? Because many people think it's just...
Yeah, I think as a sex therapist, one of the things we do, we rule out the medical portion of it.
Okay.
A lot of times, many people don't even know to go to their OBGYN or ask their primary care, access health care services to get their estrogen levels checked or testosterone or anything, thyroid checks. And we always rule out the medical first before the psychological. And I love what you said about getting something that the partner maybe is not offering, you know, and that goes into my fantasy, my wants, my needs, my desires, things that I want. And I think, but we have to go back to doing the medical first.
Yeah, well, I think when it comes to sexuality, there's such a mind-body connection.
Yes.
I think, you know, if there is a medical issue that can cause, you know, for example, if there's pelvic pain disorder, right, and the person is feeling pain, you know, they're going to feel tense. Mm-hmm. And playfulness and pleasure and being tense and anxious do not mix.
No.
Right. So I think, you know, the cause is one thing, ruling out is extremely important, but also understanding how one can affect the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about physical pain, but even emotional pain. That's another barrier to being able to connect.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we also talked a little bit about desire, and I know people out there, there's desire and then there's arousal. Can we explain what's the difference?
So for me, I think desire, I think I go back to that idea of the imagination piece.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
I think they both can overlap in some ways, but I think arousal is kind of like that spot that I know turns you on and causes this spark. So I would think like the mind-body connection, but you know, they overlap, but I think arousal for me would be what wakens.
Yes.
Right? There's something that wakes you, and I know that if I go there or I do this particular thing, it's just going to wake up and... Let's see where it takes us.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It can be touch. It can be taste. It can be smells.
Mm-hmm.
It can be mental as well. Yeah, mental arousal.
Yeah, definitely. And for some couples, they're thinking the lack of sexual desire is maybe they're having a disconnect. You know, maybe they run out of time or whatever the case may be. And then there's also this theory that, hey, then maybe we should plan time. Is there a difference, or is it plan time versus... not plan in the sense of sexual desire to help it? Does that...
Yeah. I think as we age or we become more responsible, we may need to plan it. A lot of times sex doesn't have to be somewhat spontaneous. I mean, if you think about once we get married, we're buying homes, we are taking care of kids, we have jobs, we have aging parents.
Right.
We have adjustment to our kids going off to college. We may need to plan time to have sex, just like we plan everything else.
That's true.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think if we could almost change that word plan to intentional.
Yes.
Right?
Intentional.
Yes. Because if we're intentional.
Yes, a good word. Yes.
Because, you know, if we're intentional, like you say, send the email, walk the dogs, do all these things, and then sex is kind of, we expect for it to just come down from the sky, and, you know, and turn everybody on.
Yes.
It's like, no, you know, and something that I've experienced is that when we start being intentional about this intimate dates, and again, an intimate date doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have sex.
Yes.
It means we're going to connect in this way, and let's see where our body takes us. Mm-hmm. Right? And once that happens, mm-hmm. once it becomes more part of this, mm-hmm. then it happens more spontaneous yeah. and more naturally.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I love that. Intentional.
Intentional, yes. Yeah, because for so many people, they may think, well, if there's no desire, then they're just waiting. Mm-hmm. How does the lack of desire really impact a relationship?
I think more people taking on that there is something wrong with me.
Yes.
Oh. If I have a partner and they don't desire me, there is something wrong with me. And that has really, a lot of times I find in clinical practice, it's not about you.
Mm-mm. Really?
It's not about you. It's not mm-hmm. about what you are not doing right.
Okay.
We're looking at trauma. We're looking at maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe I'm stressed, which brings about all types of hormonal changes.
Definitely.
And I think a lot of partners, a lot of couple dynamic, they take it on as if something is wrong with me. My partner does not want me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always true.
Yeah, and I think to expand a little bit on what you're saying, Isha, absolutely, you know, the person doesn't feel wanted, they don't feel desired, and you know, what is the beautiful thing about a relationship is this kind of push and pull, and when that's no longer there, then we either blame ourselves, that's a big mm-hmm. one, right, mm-hmm. but we also feel almost like a sense of shame, or, you know, you don't want me anymore, and mm-hmm. we miss that connection, that mm-hmm. like push and pull that keeps this relationship, you know, vibrant.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, and so many of us don't communicate about it.
Mm.
You keep it inside. You know, that person, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong. What do you do when you feel like that's in your relationship? There's no desire.
I think a lot of times we communicate, but we don't communicate verbally. We do it with body language.
Oh, that's right.
We
do it with your body language.
We do it with the cold. I'm getting the cold shoulder. My behavior changes. But we're not communicating verbally about this. Makes me feel uncomfortable. So I always go back to the ABCs of any relationship, which is communication.
Communication.
And verbal communication. Your partner is not a mind reader. Talk to your partner, but we also have to consider if I feel safe enough to talk to my partner about these things. How will they take it?
Right.
The time frame. Do we intentionally make time to communicate and talk to one another?
Right, and I think, you know, shame lives in secrecy.
Yes.
Right? The more that we internalize it, the more it's going to be in there. And I think one of the common things that I hear, which is what you said, is that people say, well, I don't want to say that to them because I'm going to hurt their feelings.
Yes.
And, you know, if I say something, what if? Yes. But I think, you know, part of relationships is that we got to learn to be comfortable with discomfort.
Yes.
These conversations are not going to be fun.
Right.
But if we don't have them, what I tell my couples is, I don't care what you bring up in this session and talk to me about. I care what you're not talking to me about.
Exactly.
Use that same, you know, idea when it comes to your coupled relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Because like you would, if you were saying you're having that internal conflict.
And if you have that nonverbal communication that you're talking about, you know, I already feel like I want it. And if the person's kind of like, goes like this, you know, I'm like, oh, it's me, right?
Yeah.
Anything that's reinforced because I'm already scanning with an anxious mind.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
In your practices, is the low sexual desire more prevalent for men than women?
I would say women come in more. However, I feel that with men, it's underreported.
It's underreported. Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, yes.
And when a man comes in, because what is the messages that we give men about masculinity? Performance, provider. So men with low libido, women are angry.
Yes.
Because they're personalizing it.
Well,
you do that. It's me.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
How come I want it more? There's something innately wrong with you.
Yeah.
So even though this is more reported in women, I believe that there's a lot of men out there that are probably struggling with this, but just we don't see them as much in therapy as we wish we did.
Even seeking care to mental health.
Yes.
If you look at the rates of women that seek care versus men.
It's very low.
And a lot
of
times men will underreport because they feel a sense of shame and guilt in the messages they get. And also when we look at if I desire myself, I'm able to masturbate on my own. However, with my partner, I don't have any desire. What message does that send?
Right,
definitely.
You know? Yes. Yeah. And so we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to work on some tips on how to increase that sexual desire. having an intimacy show where intimacy is real. And today we have been talking about low sexual desire. And yes, and we have two great guests here, yes, that have been talking about it, Paolo and Aisha. So as we've been talking about this low sexual desire, what are some tips to help individuals in the sense of helping them, and tips also for couples?
I would say for individuals, knowing what is going on with you. I'm always big on, before you seek care, what is it that you want to get out of access to care? Whether that's medical professionals, whether that's a qualified mental health counselor or a qualified sex therapist, knowing what you want for individuals. Couples, the same thing. Are we seeking individual help by ourselves? Or are we seeking couples therapy? Right. Do I need to visit my OBGYN? Do I have medical concerns? Things of that nature, I would say, to start off with. Yeah,
it's so important to access your resources because, you know, kind of tying into what everything that we mentioned in this little segment, when we stop talking about it, we don't know the language,
right?
But I think, you know, one good thing that I like to suggest to my couples, buy a little book, right? That's a vibrant color, red or yellow, and put it somewhere in the room, maybe next to you. And in that book, separately, write something, you know, I was thinking the last time we, and writing like an intimate scene or having another page where it's like likes and dislikes, because when the person is writing it on their own, they're connecting to that part of themselves.
Yeah.
And when the other person is reading it, they don't get to react right away.
Yes.
Right. Kind of like a conversation. So writing is kind of like, you know, we don't use it enough, I think.
Right.
And so, and we're able to kind of say, well, you know, this part of my body needs a little bit more attention. Mm-hmm. And the person can pose questions, and it's the other person's job to go in and read. And we're kind of toying with this idea of desire, right? We're reading about the other person, we're getting to know, but can't emphasize enough how important it is to use your resources wisely.
Yeah, I love that idea about the writing, yes, because then that's like, you're reading something and you can even, as you're reading it, fantasize or whatever, and it connects the two.
Mm-hmm. Writing a sexual letter.
Yes.
That's right? That's what I'm thinking. And the other person, you know, you don't have to, you just read it, and you're sitting there and you're thinking about that time, and again, desire, imagination is feeding into this idea of imagination.
Yes, definitely.
I would also say, be mindful not to self-diagnose yourself. I have a lack of sexual desire.
Right.
And they come into practice and they say, I have this.
Right.
And once I take ownership to that, that means it becomes a part of me. And unfortunately, a lot of times we can't change it. Right.
Right.
So having a lack of meaning, like I'm like, well, do you have to go out and find it? Do you buy it at a store?
Right.
It's not a carton of eggs. So let's take a step back and let's talk about what's going on with you in your experiences before we actually give you this thing that they have to have ownership to. So I have a lack of sexual desire. I have a low libido. Wait, slow down a little bit.
Definitely. And what you mentioned earlier in the previous segment is masturbation.
Yes.
So if they're masturbating, everything's working fine, then maybe it's something dealing with the relationship.
Yes. And not necessarily the one's lack of desire.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What other tips that you guys can provide?
Well, I think, you know, expanding a little bit on self-exploration, how important
it
is. So we're talking about it a little bit different, but how do we ask for what we want if we don't know what that is?
Yes. No, that's true. Knowing
you
that
have
body.
To know your roadmaps. You have to know where your stops are. You have to know where your detours are. You have to really understand what goes on for you. And I would even suggest, when you self-explore, do it without porn.
Yes.
So that you could understand what are my sensitive parts of my vulva? What, you know, what feels good when I massage the shaft or whatever it may be? It's just really good to kind of get back in touch with yourself, because needs change over time. What I like when I was an adolescent versus, you know, a young adult may be completely different for that person. So I think expanding on that place, I think that's really important.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And understanding, you don't own your partner's genitals.
Oh, yes, yes.
You don't own them.
That's a good one.
You don't own them. You know, it's almost like I'm leasing it for the time being.
Yes,
and knowing,
yes.
And I love what you said, knowing what feels good to you.
Right.
How can I please my partner if I don't even know what feels good to me? Or how can I engage and connect in that intimate space if I don't even know what feels right to me?
Mm-hmm.
I love what you said about taking porn out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Porn is something that we use, but it's been getting out of control because it sets these unrealistic expectations of what sex will look like in our home, and then we feel inadequate when we don't meet those expectations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And it comes up with a lot of different body images.
Yes.
And you get really
especially
self-critical.
For
yeah, for women. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Especially for women.
Yeah, they get it in their head and they just get so critical of yeah. one another. Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I love how you said that we don't own the other person's body.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to use that.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. And I think, you know, women struggle with that. But also, I did this little talk where I was looking at the research. 75% of men worry about penis size.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yes.
But, you
yes.
know, what do we see in porn?
Porn?
You oh, know, yes. oversized penis, an hour erection, you know,
right.
everybody's happy. And so I think it's really, right. So I think, you know, I wish men welcome resources. It's important, you
yes.
know, because I think there's a lot that we can talk about. And there's nothing better than be able to normalize that for
yeah.
the client and take
mm-hmm.
that shame away.
Yeah.
You know, the more they internalize it, the bigger it becomes.
Yes. Men, right. throw out your rulers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What I often say is, like, listen, we've all watched girl on girl porn. They don't have any penises and
no,
they look like they're having a blast.
Yes,
they have
definitely.
Fun, you know? So
yeah.
really think about the intimate space versus...
Yes.
versus worrying about things that really
definitely
yes. So if audience members are out there listening and they want to get to know more about what you do, how can they reach you, Paola?
So if you want to know about workshops and things that I'm doing out in the field, Life Discovery Psych on my Instagram, I post educational videos. If you want to see and get familiarized yourself with my services, my website, lifediscoverypsych.com.
Okay. For me, if you want to know more about what I'm doing in my crazy world that I have, visit my website. It's the quickest way to get in touch with me. It's www.behowyou.com or email me at behowyou@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you, ladies, so much for
being
here on the show.
Thank you.
This is the Bringing Intimacy Back show.